never rests.
What is up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show. We are here with you on a Thursday morning presented by American Pride Bank. As always, listen, American Pride Bank is your community bank, local bankers, local decision makers who understand your needs. They offer personalized service, flexible lending options, and commitment to growing your business. Visit them at one of their locations, whether it's online at AmericanPrideBank.bank, or you can visit them in Athens, Alpharetta, various other locations. American Pride Bank, your community bank, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender, and your trusted partner as well. Presented by American Pride Bank is the Georgia Show. And Rusty, listen, somebody in our comments last week let us know that we talked football, we talked basketball, we talked baseball. We did not talk recruiting. Okay, so definitely not going to miss out on that one this week. Want to lead off with that. Somebody probably get on me for using a baseball analogy there. It's not because the Braves are doing worth the crap, but God, anyway. But Rusty, listen, Bo Bentley comes out this week, names a final three of Georgia, Oklahoma, and LSU. Mm-hmm. You said a couple weeks ago, maybe it's like a week ago, don't think this is quite the slam dunk that everybody thinks it is from Oklahoma.
Yep.
But Jared Curtis and – I mean, is this as complicated as it seems, or is this kind of just, it's either really complicated or really simple, one or the other, right?
Yeah, it's really complicated. Like, if I told Kirby Smart tonight that 100% by June the 1st, let's say June the 1st, that you're either going to have Bo Bentley or Jared Curtis, he would breathe a sigh of relief tonight. Like, okay. One of those two, we can roll. You know what I mean? Like one of those two, and you know, people are really opinionated on which guy they want and which guy they think's best for Georgia, and you know that's okay. I mean, that's part of this, but I think what people are kind of overlooking is Georgia. Yes, Jared Curtis has been the guy. They have been on Jared Curtis a lot longer than anybody else. They've been on him for a year and a half now. But the one thing I will say is Georgia recruited other quarterbacks. I felt like with Dylan Raiola, they were all in on him, and then they kind of took one late and you know ended up with Ryan Puglisi, who was a guy that worked out for him. They realized, hey, we got to have this guy too. So, but Georgia has recruited a lot of quarterbacks. They've made a lot of offers. Landon Duckworth, Bentley. I mean, they've been all over the country. Mike Bobo was everywhere in January watching kids throw. They didn't have all their eggs in one basket.
Yes, I think he saw Dia Bell twice. And
he saw Dia Bell twice, correct. Yeah, and Dia Bell was on campus, you know what I mean? And they recruited those guys hard.
Keyshawn Henderson for the kid that's committed to Houston.
Yeah.
You're right. They have made sure to keep their hands on a lot of quarterbacks in this class, not just offering, but like recruiting them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, people, you know, the domino is going to fall May the 5th. Either you're going to get Jared Curtis or you're not. But I won't be real careful in saying that Bo Bentley's a backup. I don't see it that way. I think Georgia's recruiting these guys really hard. I would imagine that the questions have been asked. If you're in Bo Bentley's in his circle, you know when Jared Curtis is going to make his decision. And it's not like I wouldn't imagine they feel like they're plan B at Georgia. Dude, people fight to go to Georgia. You're going to have offensive linemen in front of you. You're going to play with a hell of a lot of NFL people. Their quarterbacks have been successful, won a lot of games. You've played in a lot of big games. So, you know, I think people need to kind of back off that narrative a little bit and know that Georgia has recruited multiple quarterbacks. And we're going to find out. And this is what I say about the NFL. And I've always said this about when I was involved with rankings, you just don't know, Jake. In the NFL, you know, an entire building drafted Zach Wilson. Okay, everybody credits San Francisco for being the greatest offensive gurus in the world. They traded up to get Trey Lance. They traded up to get Trey Lance, number three. They got lucky with Brock Purdy. And, oh, by the way, the last guy on the board. You know what I mean? And they got lucky with that. So there's not a science to it. You got to try to trust yourself. You got to trust your eval, know who you're in on, know who you think you got, who you like. And it's not an easy thing to do, but I'll say this, with this rev share deal and the way these contracts are going to lay out, I don't care if Georgia signs Jared Curtis. I don't care if they sign Bo Bentley. I don't care if they get Landon Duckworth. I don't care if Dia Bell were to flip from Texas to Georgia. It's going to freaking cost. It's going to cost way more money than Georgia ever paid a freshman quarterback. It's not even close to what it's going to cost. And it's going to be a multi-year deal. You know, you got to get this one right, and you got to be all in and hope you get the right one. And that goes for everybody in the country. But we cover Georgia. We know how big of a deal this is. This is a big decision right here. Not only who they get, but do they get it right? Because this is a big boy one here. This is the first time I have this rep shared type deal.
Just want your opinion on this, because it just got me thinking about it, because I know what I think about it, but would that whole deal that you just explained make you really think about becoming like a portal quarterback guy?
Well, everybody's going to try to get a high school guy and a portal guy.
Yeah.
I think if Georgia gets Jared Curtis, just say they get Jared Curtis. I still think they take a portal guy in December. I think everybody's going to I talked to a school yesterday and I asked them, I said, because I thought that this particular school has been portal.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what are you going to do? They said, oh, we're always going to sign a high school guy, but we're always going to be in the portal too. We got to make sure we got what they call bird in hand. And you got a guy that you hope that you can develop and hold on to him, and somebody else don't poach him or he doesn't leave. So nobody's faced this, Jake. I'm fascinated. And the school I talked to yesterday was a group of five. It wasn't an SEC school. Because I told them, I said, y'all going to be in the portal the whole time, right? And they're like, no, we're always going to be in the portal for a quarterback, but our philosophy is we also want to take a high school kid. So, you know, if you do miss, now let me say this. I don't know the terminology and the language, okay? If Georgia signs Rusty Mansell and I'm the number one quarterback in America and they sign me to a two-year deal and I either wind up I'm a bust or I wind up leaving, you know, what's the buyout? What's all that kind of stuff? How does that happen? You know, because you've got to go get a quarterback. You have got to have a quarterback. So all this stuff is fascinating. It's new. Nobody knows how it's going to play out. And but I do think the portal situation is really making things different. You would be crazy not to look in the portal, you know, with quarterbacks. Ohio State did it this year, won a national championship with one. They felt they had a gap there. I think they got their guy now with Julian Sain, probably is their next guy. And you know, portal is important. You better make sure you got a quarterback, or you're not going to play into January in this setting.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. You know, you were talking about spending more money than you've ever spent for a quarterback.
You will, except for Carson now, but Carson was a lot of NIL, and he was also a fifth year guy.
Yeah, fifth year established. Yeah, and just thrown
for you knew four, what you had for the most part was, with him. Yes,
there was a talented kid with continuity into your program. That was but it just makes me think, if you're going to spend a lot of money on a quarterback, then I don't know, man. It makes me feel like, and I know that you know, some people have had a lot of success with portal guys, and some haven't. You know, like you know, Lincoln Riley's had a lot of success with. I mean, Baker Mayfield was a transfer, Kyler Murray was a transfer, Jalen Hurts was a transfer. All of them.
Different right? Day and age, though. Now, could you imagine what Kyler Murray would have called? Dude, it would be. There's no telling, but you also. Everybody's got more money to spend, like, but you only have a pot. You know what I mean? So if you're going to have this amount of money tied up into a quarterback, you got to hit it, man. This is almost the NFL model under a rookie contract. You know, everybody talks about how important it is. And you see Washington with Jaden Daniels. They are spending money like crazy because they know they have this quarterback under a rookie contract.
Yeah, front-loading deals.
Front-loading deals and all that kind of stuff. So you see everybody, a lot of people around the country hiring general managers. Georgia particularly hasn't hired a general manager, but they've hired a lot of people that have dealt in contracts and those types of things. And, you know, Kirby Smart has his hand in all that, and this is his program. And I've heard him say it at a coaching clinic. You know, that general manager's name's not in the paper when you lose on Sunday. It's my name. So, you know, he's got his hands all over this, as he should, and he'll be involved with those contracts and those types of things. But dealing with agents and all that good stuff, and yeah, I know we'll talk about his comments, but this quarterback deal, understand the magnitude of this one, because this initial rev share, you're going to spend more money than you've ever spent on a quarterback, period. And none of them are going to be cheap, not a one of them. And every one of them have an agent, and every one of them have a marketing guy, and every one of them have a financial guy. So get used to hearing that, because that is the day and age, and that's not changing.
And nobody knows where this is going to go. Nobody knows exactly where it's going to go. They didn't know. I guarantee nobody knew where it was going to go 5, 6, 7 years ago. Not to where it is right now.
No.
There's a lot of blame to go around. Let's give them some time to try and fix it. And all of that before we say it's completely ruined. It might not.
No, I don't think it's ruined. I just think we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I think it's a better, people come to me all the time, like, I hate college football now. No, you don't. You can't wait for Saturdays. There's a lot of different paths to get there, but you don't hate Saturdays. You know what I mean? Like, you hate hearing this stuff about kids and all this stuff, but you don't hate Saturdays. You're still there. You're still tuned in. You're still griping, and you're still on the message board, lighting people up, and you're hugging when they win, and you don't hate it. It's a different path to get to football season. We're all learning.
It just seems like, and I don't care who you are, get some good news, some good things happen, and there's always something lurking. There's always a player lurking a player lurking to enter the transfer portal, there's always some bad news lurking that can be tied back to NIL and transfer portal, and folks are going to make that connection because it's what they want to do. They're going to make that connection every single time. And, you know, I understand how people have gotten a little bit sour on it, but listen, man, I tell you what, if we want to see where this thing is going to go, maybe we need to put on a pair of shades from Sun Heist.
Let's get some.
Promo code DOGSHQ20, and you can save 20% on your first order over at Sun Heist. Hey, Shane and Mary Heist, they're local. They want you to see local. They want to get you in a pair of these premium sunglasses of quality you can trust. We're talking about durable frames made with bio-based nylon, and lenses are 100% UV-400 protection. They're built for adventure, whether you're tailgating or hitting the lake or you're mountain biking, whatever you're doing, Sun Heist sunglasses are meant to keep up. And listen, there's a Georgia connection. They are proud to be a part of the Georgia community. They're out of Jefferson. They're committed to giving back, and that's why they partnered with the One Tree Planted Foundation to support reforestation efforts across the country. So listen, there's a special offer for Dogs HQ listeners, and I've already told you that. 20% discount on all orders at Sun Heist. Just use the promo code DOGSHQ20 at checkout. Upgrade your eyewear and show your Georgia pride with Sun Heist. Head on over there, use that promo code, and hook yourself up, man, because these things are awesome. We're going to, I think, on the Sunday night show, we'll try to have a little unboxing deal with my new shades. I don't know if Rusty,
got a pair. I ordered a pair, but they're not back yet.
Not there yet. Okay. No, yeah. We may get you on, get yours unboxed. I think Roos is expecting his pretty quick too. So do an unboxing, kind of show you the quality. I'm thrilled with mine, man. I got a pair of those aviators that I wear whenever I drive, and they're perfect. They work great. So go check them out. And we appreciate them for supporting us. Listen, I appreciated Kirby kind of getting on the mic last night and giving us something to kind of, hey, we needed a runner. We need something to take off. It took off. Kirby cut loose on this whole transfer situation. I do not know how to cue it up and double screen it and all that stuff, but the gist of the thing was, and what got me, was Kirby's comment about the Zoom calls, about agents setting up Zoom calls to showcase their clients before they ever enter the portal. And Kirby's comment killed me. He said, they ask you, do you want to come on these Zoom calls? I'm like, no, what if one of my players is on there?
No kid.
It's one of those things like, I don't know if there's something about it that reminded me of old school when he said you take the early flight home from San Diego. It's just kind of feel like you're being cheated on a little bit. It's a grimy underbelly of how this thing's going. That's kind of gross, man. Like, I've been all for players being able to move around and make money and all that stuff, but shopping guys on Zoom calls to other schools before the portal even opens, I know it's a business, but golly, I mean, that will get you in some serious trouble in the NFL.
Yeah, it's tampering there. That part is a problem. You know what I mean? We talk about money and all that. I could care less about these guys earn money, whatever, how they determine to pay it. But this part, I'm telling you, they got to close this window. They got to close this. This May window is a, this just got to be closed. I mean, you have time to make your change.
That's committed for more than 1 year. That's
the well, I think the people that graduate in the summer, they should be able to do, they should have their 1 year. You've earned that right, and you should be able to graduate and transfer. But this right here, I mean, kids are bouncing around. I'm watching basketball, and it's like, holy smokes, what are we about to get into? Luckily, the SEC has the rule to where the SEC, you can't transfer within SEC and SEC in a major. I can't even imagine what would be going on right now if we were about to enter 10 days of complete free agency again. So, you know, you look at Ohio State, who's been very aggressive in the spring. You look at Oregon, you know, those schools and what they do against the SEC schools. You know, you look at Texas Tech, and that's the team. I'm telling you, I made a note on our message board that they got a billionaire that's not playing around. So, you know, if you're a school, and I think Jake, they had the number one portal class. I believe they had the number one portal class, or they had the number two. I mean, if you're a school that's going head to head with Texas Tech, you better worry, because they will outbid you like nobody's business. So we'll see how this thing goes. I anticipate Georgia having some movement. There'll be some guys that probably just say, "Hey, I didn't get through it in spring practice," and probably a lot of mutual ways there. It might be, never know, one or two guys that might leave, but I don't anticipate a crazy spring portal window for Georgia. They're going to make some additions. We'll talk about that, I think, in a minute, in my opinion.
Yeah, it felt like last year was going to get a little bit wild for a little bit. Like it kind of, but then as we got closer and you kind of listened to the buzz, you kind of, well, maybe it's not. Maybe.
Well, they got ahead of it. They got ahead of it. They started doing the money and the contracts and those types of things, and they really stopped. Because we kept hearing Michael Williams is, yeah. I mean, they were schools that were offering him a ridiculous amount of money. And I think Georgia met with him, and you know, they were good to go there. But we kept hearing Dylan Bell and Michael Williams were the two rumors around that those guys might be gone, you know, last spring, and it didn't happen. So, you know, I just think this we'll see. But I think now with contracts, the guys on campus are signed. We'll see how this thing works.
Yeah, for sure. And Kirby also cut loose on a couple of other things, talked about how sloppy the scrimmage was on Saturday. You know, kind of gave a little bit of a scrimmage recap. Again, I know folks think sometimes that we're kind of caping up and we're kind of running interference maybe for, I mean, listen, you're going to get to see the team during the fall. I'm not going to tell you anything to try and make you think the team is something that it's not. We reported directly, straight up. It was lopsided on Saturday. The offense struggled, but it's the first spring scrimmage. They got a lot more practices, a lot more scrimmages. This is supposed to be about as bad as you're going to look with all the new faces. And Kirby pointed to that right away. Something we've been reporting, he pointed to it immediately. Just they've got more new faces at more new spots than they've ever had. And that's what they're working with. So, you know, they're trying to work through that, and they've got plenty of time to do it. And listen, I would expect them to have a very long way to go after six or nine practices in the spring.
Yeah, I was told they played a lot of players too. They're trying to get so many kids, so many reps there this week. And I think that Kirby, you know, this guy gets paid a lot of money to get these kids motivated. And they've probably hit that spring wall right now. And especially they can see. Yeah, especially young players, but also the older guys, because they know that the only time they get off is in May, and they're like, okay, man, if we can just get through next week, get through G-Day, you know, man, we're going to have a life again for about 4 weeks. So I'm not real worried about it. I don't think that anything that I heard was put you in panic mode. And
They're basically on the Thursday and Friday before taking vacation right now.
Yes. Man, when I worked in the corporate world, that Friday before a 3-day weekend was, everybody should have might as well just wore a ski mask, because
Before I take a Saturday to Saturday vacation nothing. Yeah.
Nothing better than putting that out office reply on your email. And there's some guys right now in Athens just did they want to hit that button right now? They just can't. Yeah. And I made a post on our message board that, you know, Kirby, after Tuesday's practice, Kirby challenged not only the defense, because I think the defense kind of was lack of energy. just didn't make a lot of plays Tuesday. Offense got into him pretty good. I don't think he felt like the vibe was there. And he challenged him. He said, look, guys, we're going to finish strong, or I'm going to find, you know, I'm going to find 11 guys that will. And both sides of the ball. And I think he challenged his consistency of both sides. We want good. Let's stack good practice. Not like Saturday, the offense didn't do it. Well, Tuesday, the defense didn't do it. He wants good on good, and let's get after it and compete. So that doesn't surprise me either with him.
Yeah, me neither. Not at all. And again, this is one of those situations where when you start talking about spring practice, fully expected it. And you know, there we, you know, yesterday, like you just mentioned, the offense kind of bounces back in that first practice after, and they get after it a little bit. And they get after it with what's right now three offensive linemen out. Kirby made it known yesterday that Drew Bobo's got a little bit of a hyperextension. It's nothing real serious. So he was out. Daniel Calhoun's been out. Monroe Freeling's been out. So there's three guys that were projected to start for you out. And the offense was able to bounce back and have a pretty decent day. So I think that's a little bit of a positive there. Ja Jackson continues to get work there at left tackle along with Bo Hughley. There's a lot going on. And like you said, there's a lot of guys playing. The thing is you want to, you know, throw as much on these guys right now as you possibly can. You want to challenge them as much as you possibly can. A lot of that, whether they know it or not, is going to sink in over the summer when they kind of relax a little bit, and some of the stuff they're going to end up doing from a workout and walkthrough and all that standpoint. When preseason camp comes around, brush up, get ready, reinstall, and it's going to be the process right over again. You expect to be better, and that's what has worked for Georgia time and time again.
Different energy, summer. I think Saturday is probably, if I had a choice, if I could go to any practice of the spring, and he said, all right, guys, y'all can go, I would go Saturday. This will be the high energy to me. It won't be as controlled as G-Day will, situational. They'll be very vanilla, no matter being on TV or not. I'm sure Kirby would be paranoid about people with cameras and phones and filming plays and all the formations and signs. And I would imagine Saturday would be the practice. If Jake, they gave us a choice to go, that's the one I would love to go to. So let's see what we're hearing out of Saturday and kind of see if they can stack some stuff. Like he said, you know, they can stack some stuff between them.
When we get into, you know, we do Dogs HQ Plus sometimes, we do like to get like in the weeds when we talk about this stuff. But I want to share this little nugget. I was walking into practice yesterday, and there were a lot of people at the baseball game who probably heard this as well. Man, Kirby went on for 30 seconds about our man Bo Walker and about how Bo Walker was doing it right and how Bo Walker knew the situation and how he was playing with passion and energy. Now, I've also heard tale of Bo Walker getting ripped plenty for not knowing what to do. But I have heard with my own ears now that Kirby Smart is a pretty big Bo Walker fan, at least how he goes about his business on the practice field.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise you. I mean, tough-ass Cedar Grove kid. That program, the last, you know, he was there as a freshman, sophomore, and junior. And I got a chance to see Bo as a freshman. Played in the Georgia Elite Classic. Got a chance to see him as a sophomore and state championship. I believe I called the state championship game his junior year. And just tough kid, man. And again, including Rusty Mansell, we all kind of, you know, what he went through his senior year with a transfer and kind of got lost in the shuffle, you know, and just kind of just disappeared a little bit. But he's definitely made an impression, man. And I tell you, I said it, I think, on the Georgia show a couple weeks ago, when you see Nate Frazier make an Instagram post with him as a freshman, like, hey, you know, 3 and 24. I mean, that kind of little things like that kind of tell me, like, if Nate Frazier's stamping him, then he thinks that, you know, this is a guy too. So I can't wait to see him, G-Day.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, these things kind of have repercussions. You know, you get a guy kind of come out of nowhere and do some things, and, you know, next thing you know, there's a big running back room there that you've got to consider, and some guys that are going to have to consider their futures at Georgia. And, you know, there's a chance Georgia could go into the transfer portal at running back now, something that we weren't hearing at the beginning of spring. So there's a lot of things that kind of come with the whole idea that a guy's coming out of nowhere to do something there at running back. He's not the only freshman that has made noise this spring. And, you know, obviously we've heard about those wide receivers, but one of the things I highlighted coming into spring, and it kind of, you know, hearing you talk about Bo Walker made me think about it, was all these second year players. Georgia did such a good job of retaining.
Yep.
And they're getting some of that too. They're getting a boost from some of those second year players. Guy you mentioned from the scrimmage the other day, and we hyped him up all preseason last year because all we heard about was Quintavious Johnson, Q Johnson. And now I think probably three practices in a row, I've talked to a source that said 33 at linebacker is a player.
Yeah, I think people that see him too, because he's like 6'5", and he's got a neck roll. Like, you don't see that. So you kind of like that in a guy. But I tell you, he's physical. It's funny. I did his first high school football game at Corky-Kill. He's playing quarterback, big 6'4". He's probably 230 pounds, 14 years old, starting quarterback at Mays High School. And couldn't throw it 12 yards, but it was a damn bowling ball back there, man, running around and trying to tackle him at West Forsyth. It was crazy.
Yeah, Georgia's had some success with defensive players that played quarterback. And Sean Jones was a really good high school quarterback. I remember Corey Redding was also he never really panned out at Georgia, but Redding was a outside linebacker, rush in type that also Philip Daniels, another down at Seminole County. I know you remember Philip Daniels. He was another high school quarterback that's had that. So those guys that play high school, play quarterback in high school, and have been pretty good players that on the other side of the ball there. And who are you not thinking Philip Daniels was a quarterback?
I didn't know that. I know Miko Hardman was a quarterback and played DB his first year. Then he transferred over. So
yeah, my pretty wife said, Philip Daniels was a high school quarterback down at Seminole County.
I'd be damn.
Yeah. And tall, skinny kid at the time. You know how it is. You know, I mean, he was 6'6", 6'5". You know, DN that ended up having a great NFL career, played for the Seahawks, and I can't remember if he played for anybody else, but Philip Daniels had a phenomenal career, had a really good career at Georgia.
Played a long time.
One of the big deals about that was he was a tall, kind of skinny, 210, 220-pound quarterback in high school, and he took Lane Johnson route. That's another one, too, by the way. You're talking about a guy to play quarterback in high school, one of the best right tackles in NFL history. Lane Johnson played quarterback in high school.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think he went in as a quarterback, developed into a tight end at JUCO, and then ate himself in the offensive tackle by the time it was done, then went into combine at Oklahoma and ran like a 4.7 or a 4.8, and they fell in love with him. That's how it went.
Lane Johnson, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah,
I completely forgot about that.
All right. Hey, listen, we're done with content. Got a couple of announcements, mate. You gotta hear about it. Georgia Rodeo, we are going to be there April the 11th. Dogs HQ will be there. Go check it out. Red Clay Strays will be there. Obviously, they'll have the rodeo portion of the event, and they'll also be Zach Top, who's doing his best to keep 90s country, that 90s country sound alive. Cameron Whitcomb, Maggie Antone, and Gabriella Rose. Tickets are on sale right now, but we're going to give away two different sets of tickets on the Sunday show. All right. We're going to give away one set of tickets that are going to be, it's one set of four tickets that they're going to be matching four tickets for the G-Day game. So you'll get tickets to both the Friday night and Saturday at G-Day. And then we're going to give away another pair of tickets. So six in total, two different giveaways on Sunday show. Still haven't completely nailed down how we're going to do that. We're going to find a creative way to make it happen. So you're going to want to check into that. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel so you can get into the comments, because that's how we're going to give the tickets away. And then, Rusty, on the very next day, I'll go ahead and switch it over right here. We are going to be over at Redstone Market and Butcher for a G-Day celebration that very next morning, 9 o'clock. If you want to buy us beers at the rodeo, don't do it. I'm not going to be able to drink too many beers and go to the G-Day celebration the next morning. I'm probably going to have zero beers. So there'll be zero. We're going to be at the G-Day celebration at Redstone Market, which is Highway 129, right before you get into Athens. Don't go down 316. Come around 85. Get off on that Jefferson Gainesville exit. Come down 129 to get into Athens. Redstone Butcher's right there on your right. You cannot miss it. There'll be gas deals, the Gunner Burger, grab and go, DIY grill boxes, or you can pick up your tailgate box with ready-made food. I'll rent it. They've got the brisket Philly. Like I said, the Gunner Burger, the sausage dogs are incredible. They do a phenomenal job. The food is amazing. You can just go in there and make yourself a plate on the hot bar. I do it about once a week for lunch. So we're going to have more information on that too coming up, but we're going to be live out there, Rusty, from 9 a.m. to probably 10:30, maybe, you know, yeah. We'll be there until 11, but we'll be on air for, you know, hour and 15, hour and 30 minutes there. So come on by if you're a listener. Shoot, we may just pop you on the show, let you say a shout out or something like that. We're going to be trying to fill time, and we're going to be spending time showing everybody kind of what's going on up there. Which one are you more excited about, Rusty?
Probably the Red Mark and Butcher, because I saw that store, and I called you. I was like, Jake, this thing is freaking huge, man. And you're like, that's the one. So, you know, a lot of people be coming through there. I'll be over in Athens that Friday afternoon. I know some of our subscribers are trying to talk me into meeting them early, and I'm trying not to because we have other obligations that night. So, I'll be trying to twist my arm around Athens Friday around 1 or 2. So it's good though, man. It's almost here. Glad George is doing a spring game. Hate it's not on TV, but the atmosphere is going to be really good. I'm excited to see what type of crowd they have.
Yeah. G-Day tickets are on sale too. So if you don't really plan on getting into this giveaway thing we got going on and getting some of those tickets, then better go get your G-Day tickets. I know my wife bought some for our family today. We try to get, all of our families, aunts, uncles, nephews and nieces and all that, and go as a big group. And I usually end up kind of going down to the stands for a photo for that. So it's a great family day, man. Nobody feels bad about leaving at halftime of the G-Day game. You haven't spent a ton of money on tickets.
No.
The weather is usually pretty mild. It's a good time. But come out and see us that morning at G-Day. We want to hang out with you. We want to meet you. If you listen to the show, if you listen to it on the podcast, or if you watch, whether it's live or you catch us 2 or 3 days later, I don't care. We would love to meet you. It's always an honor to meet the people who make this possible and give you a chance to kind of have an audience. You are our audience, and we very much appreciate it. So please come hang out with us either at the rodeo or at Redstone or both. I'm telling you, if you show up at both, I got no choice but to give you something. I may have to go inside and buy you something at Redstone. If you show up at both, I'm going to have to get you something. So try and show up at both. I'd love to see you at both. So listen, that's all we got for this one. We'll be back on Sunday. We got tickets to give away on Sunday. We got, we got more to get to on Sunday. We have a ton of content there with the scrimmage having just gone on and all of that stuff. But for this episode of The Georgia Show, presented by American Pride Bank, we'll see you later.